Hey guys, Pastor Jürgen here. I'm so glad you're tuning into one of our powerful messages that is guaranteed to absolutely elevate your life to another level. At Awaken, we only want to preach fresh, real, powerful to help you grow stronger in your walk with God, develop your faith so you can take more territory. I'm praying that God blesses you and enriches your soul as you listen to this amazing word from God. God bless you.
This morning, we have the privilege to hear from three different preachers. So it's going to be a little different, but it's going to be so great. They're each going to come up here and impart what they have and a word that they have for you. But I'm going to introduce all three of them, and then we're going to hold applause. And then when the first person comes up here, we can cheer them on and give them all of our love. But first up, batting first, we have Dr. James Barker. Yes, yes, yes. Dr. James and his beautiful wife, Tamara, have been such a gift and a blessing to our community and to Awaken Church. Yes, the wisdom that they carry, the faith that they carry, the marriage that you guys have shown of what it means to be kingdom-minded in business is unparalleled. So they own a chiropractic office here in the Treasure Valley, so he's going to be leading us off. And then we have our Mrs. Assimilator, Star Burroughs. She is our current Pathfinder apprentice that is going to be up here absolutely dominating. But the anointing of leadership that is on Star's life to encourage others, to pull the gold out of others, to truly lead other people in a fashion that demonstrates God's excellence is so great. So I can't wait to hear from her. And then wrapping us up is going to be the cutie in blue. It's okay. He's my husband. Okay. It's all right. I'm allowed to say that. He is going to be closing out the service, but I have never met someone who is as unapologetic about chasing after the things of God and who God has created him to be. And that includes business, that includes the marketplace, that includes building other people up to know their value and to know their worth in God's eyes. So we're going to have all three of those people up here today. So don't make it hard on them. Lean in. Make them happy. Let's welcome Dr. James Barker to the stage.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Of course, thank you to Pastors Colin and Melissa. But hey, listen, it's Pathfinder Sunday. How can we not also acknowledge the Wilgham Bushes, right? We do celebrate you, love you guys, appreciate what you guys do here at this campus. So it's been 9 years since I've been in the pulpit, and this is a big moment for me, so excited to share some things with you guys this morning. Anytime I minister for the first time in a church, I like to just kind of introduce myself to that group so that they get to know me as a human being and not necessarily as a preacher or whatever, okay? So I'd like to share a little background with you this morning, and of course my name is James Barker, easy, that's a no-brainer right there, right? But I was born and raised in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and I went to a military junior college in southern New Mexico for 2.5 years, and I got a flavor for the military, and I was like, yeah, I kind of like this. So I got a ROTC scholarship to Colorado State University and then spent 12 years in the United States Army Reserves. And thank you. Appreciate you guys saying that. So I got born again when I was 16, but this is now about 24. I'm in the military a little bit. And struggling hard, just to be honest with you. Living in Denver, looking for a job, it's not going well. Reconnected with a buddy from military junior college, and his parents were going to this church, and I was like, okay, I'll go check it out. But this guy was my first connection to a marketplace minister. He was a multi-million-dollar real estate developer, but he would pray for people to get healed of cancer in his office, and they would get healed, right? So I'm like, this guy's getting my attention. He's got something happening financially, and he's got power of God happening in his life. He led me into the baptism of the Holy Spirit, led me to a great church, a lot like Awaken, and things just went from there. And so the next thing I know, I'm saying yes to God to be a pastor. And so I go to Tulsa, Oklahoma, to Kenneth Hagin Ministries, the Bible school there. That's where I met my beautiful bride, Tamara, right? Ow! So after a few years, I could tell you the dating story, but that's another thing for another time, because there's no way in this time, right? So after a few years, Tamara and I heard this call to go to Anchorage, Alaska to Pioneer Church. And Kenny, it wasn't this brilliant idea that all you guys had to come move from San Diego and take a team with you. This was the team right here, right? And we grounded out for, we couldn't break 10 people for like 6 months. It was so tough, right? Our first service was -4 degrees outside. And eventually though, that church did take off and we had great success with that church and it was so much fun. And we were experiencing promotion and increase and I was starting to become a pastor in the community with some influence with the other pastors and things were going really well. But then after 9 years, that grace lifted and things began to change. And it was like, it's time to do something different. I don't know what it is, but this is no longer satisfying my heart. So we went on a short sabbatical, and then we replanted another church in my hometown of Albuquerque, New Mexico. And Nate, this one went over like a pregnant pole vaulter. I mean, it just tanked. It was terrible, right? I mean, God did some good things in it. Don't get me wrong. My mom got saved through that church, but. It started the process of me being broken down as a man in ways that I didn't see coming. Wow. So I struggled. Tamara has always been able to find jobs and do great employment-wise, and I struggled, and she couldn't find a job. I couldn't find a decent job. I had to go back 20 years in my career to start selling cars, and it was breaking to me as a man because I couldn't pay bills. We were borrowing money to pay bills. It was a very difficult time in our lives. And so it's just like one thing was getting, and if you're a man, you know what that's like. You know, if you're just getting punched in the gut over and over and over again, it really starts to wear down your self-confidence. And you're like, are my best days behind me? Like, is God done with me? What's going on here, right? So then this whole idea of going to chiropractic college in my mid-40s, I mean, I'm in my mid-40s, and I'm thinking about going back to grad school for 3.5 years. Wow, I'm losing a lot of time, right? So, but this is the idea. It's like, I think God's trying to get through to us is that there is this marketplace ministry that goes along with the church, right? So that's what led us to this this eroding process of me going down, 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 but then awaken, right? And then not only awaken, but also pathfinders, right? So Jeremy was the first to apply, and I think I was probably right behind him. So, and then at the Salt Lake City Pathfinders Conference, something happened, man. When Tracy Armstrong was speaking, guys, it wasn't a church service like this. It was a marketplace ministry training environment, and all of a sudden, a download from heaven came into me, and I got all that confidence back, right? Instead of, you know, being this guy, like the chest starts to come out a little bit, right? And you start to kind of know who you are again. So let me give you one quick key to promotion in the marketplace. This is Psalm 105, verse 17. And it says here, he sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons until the time that his word came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. Imagine this, guys. You're about 14 years old as Joseph, and you get this major prophetic vision of how God's going to use you in your life. But then 16 years, everybody say 16 years. 16 years go by of false accusations, of imprisonment, and slavery. Don't you think Joseph was seriously questioning, God, where are you? What happened to that call? What happened to that vision that I had of you using my life, right? So I want you to know this about God. His tests in your life are not pass or fail. They are for promotion and increase, right? So until that word comes to pass in your life, you're going to be tested. And it's a very difficult challenge, right? But training produces readiness, okay? And your daily disciplines are going to get you ready for your hour of opportunity. Let me say that again because I'm not sure you got that. Your daily disciplines are going to get you ready for your hour of opportunity. In other words, faithfulness, we talk about being fat in this church, don't we? Faithful, available, teachable. Your faithfulness is a major characteristic to getting promoted. And listen, you just got to decide what kind of person you're going to be. I remember as a young believer, probably about 30 years ago, reading Mark chapter 4. It's the parable of the soil. Some people say the sower. It's really about the soil, right? And I read that, and I'm like, okay, there's these four different categories of human heart, and three-quarters of them, 75%, are not going to bear fruit for the kingdom of God. So what does that mean? What does that mean, Pastor Gary? That means that odds are stacked against you that you're going to bear fruit for the kingdom of God. And you have to decide. You get to decide, not God. You have to decide. I'm going to be in that category, and I'm okay with the odds being stacked against me, because as you're going to hear from Daniel later, that's what being an overcomer and having a testimony is all about, is that you understand the odds are stacked against you as a business owner, as a believer, as a church pioneer, whatever it is that God's called you to do, the odds are against you. But with Jesus. Come on. Now, there's so many people in the Bible that, you know, you see this faithfulness coming out. And I just want to mention one last one to you before I give it over to Star to rock the house. Do you guys remember Ruth? Ruth was this amazing young woman who understood that she had an assignment and had a connection to another woman of God named Orpah. And she would not be separated from that woman. Right? She served her faithfully through some of the most challenging difficulty and circumstances that any person could go through. The death of her husband, the death of her father-in-law, famine, all these kinds of different things. And yet she wouldn't separate herself from Orpah. And then what do you know, one day, because she's being consistently faithful. She's being consistently faithful. What happens? Pastor Ashley, who shows up? Boaz, yes, that's right. You were looking for the answer. keep it holy, right? So I just want to finish with this thought. You guys keep grinding and keep being faithful, because your hour of opportunity is coming. You just got to be ready for it, that's all. And when you are in that position, you're doing your daily thing, God is going to open a door, and you're going to be ready to step into it. Amen? Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dr. James. I told him after the 9, I was like, I hope I don't call you Dr. Barker, because we're so used to saying Dr. James, but that was incredible. I want to say a quick thank you to Pastor Colin and Pastor Melissa and to the PFA leaders who invited me to be on this stage. It is a huge privilege that I get to do this. Very cool for me, and I hope for you guys as well. So my name is Star, and I want to talk a little bit about my backstory, recent history, and then where we're at right now. So my husband and I lived in San Diego, Southern California, for a few years. We are not from there. I let people know that I just came here from California, but I'm not from California. If that makes any difference, I don't know. So when we lived in San Diego, Sean and I lived paycheck to paycheck. It was very much of the paycheck to paycheck lifestyle, where you use credit to sometimes buy groceries, or, you know, if you want to go to an event or something on a weekend, you're like, what's the mileage there? Because I'm pretty sure we aren't going to be able to afford gas to get us there and back. And it's not that we were like hardcore Dave Ramsey followers. We were not. We were just kind of anti-debt. It was too stressful for me. So we just lived in this paycheck to paycheck lifestyle. And I had a toddler and a newborn at the time. I'm in the apartment cleaning up, and I'm trying to put crayons in a crayon box. I don't know why I didn't just have a bin to dump them in, but I had a newborn over here probably crying, a toddler probably wanting to play with me, trying to put these crayons in this box. I'm stacking broken crayons on top of each other, shoving a crayon on the back. The box is ripping. It's getting fat. I can't close the lid, and just kind of getting annoyed. In that moment, it was so profound for me. The Holy Spirit spoke to my spirit, not necessarily audible words, but spoke to my spirit, saying, Star, someday your bank account will be like that crayon box, overflowing. And it was so profound, because I just knew that he was speaking to me, saying, this is a season of lack, but it will not always be like this. Someday you will experience an overflow in finances. And I was immediately reminded of a well-known verse in Malachi 3:10. It says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing so that there will not be room enough to store it. In other versions, it says room enough to contain it. Luke 6:38 is similar. It says, give and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Now, I believed God. I believed that he had this promise for me. I feel like I had the spiritual side down. Like I understood God's supernatural power. I even understood my authority as a Christian. But the reality was I had very much of a poverty mindset. I even didn't like money because I only had experienced lack around money. I didn't like spending money, so I was a good saver, a little bit of a hoarder. And I didn't invest money. I definitely didn't know how to make money, but I believed God's promise. What I did not understand at the time was that it required a partnership from me. I had to partner with God in order to see that promise fulfilled in my life. And we all know the Israelites, they were promised a promised land. The land was literally their promise. And so they had to do something in order to see the manifestation of that promise come to pass in their life. Unfortunately, it took them 4 decades, and they didn't even get to see that, the generation after them. So they're grumbling and complaining in this wilderness because they are not doing something, which was fighting the enemy, in order to receive that promise. And I just did not grasp it at that time. During this season, there were a couple really big opportunities for me to partner with God. One of them was a Vision Builders Pledge. So my husband and I are sitting in church one weekend, and we're like, we'll pray separately and write down a number. And then that happened to be the same number. So we said, okay, we'll give that. It was $5,000. We did not have $5,000 to give. So I was like, well, you know, God will probably provide that. So at the end of the year, we had given $1,000, and I'm like, we just aren't going to fulfill it. That's it. I'm like telling Sean, we're broke. We're broke, Sean. He's like, babe, we aren't broke. We have a savings account. And I'm saying, but this savings account is for a home that we can't afford in Southern California. And, you know, I was just so against using that savings account because that money had a grip on me. I was a hoarder, right? That money owned me, right? And so the Holy Spirit speaks to me one weekend, and I just knew I had to pay the remaining $4,000, get into that savings account, and we fulfilled that pledge. 7 days later, I had another really big, scary opportunity, and it was for me to invest in a business coach because I'd wanted to start an online business. And my husband actually heard this speaker at a Pathfinders conference, by the way, and in order for me to work with her, it would have cost me $4,000. Now, I knew I was not investment worthy. I had produced nothing financially. So I knew logically I was not worth the investment, but God was speaking to me about doing this. So I chose obedience, though I knew I wasn't worth the financial investment. I chose obedience. The only reason I gave $4,000 to this woman who changed my life was because I had released my grip on this savings account that was doing nothing for me. The Holy Spirit literally released me from that grip. So 10 months later, I run a program, a course, and make $23,000 within a matter of a few weeks. So paid myself back, and then we were gifted some money for a down payment on a home. Again, this was a step of faith for us. Moved into this home, this teeny little home in the area, in the Southern California area, and it's a $3,800 mortgage, right? Little home. So we're still paycheck to paycheck. And I'm like, I have to bring in a certain amount of money in order for us to live paycheck to paycheck so we don't have a culmination of debt. And I'm like taking short breaths. Like I can't take a deep breath. We're a week into this home. I know this $3,800 mortgage is coming up. I'm like, Sean, I can't like take, it's been a couple days. I can't take deep breaths. He's like, I think that's panic. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm having mild panic attacks full of anxiety because I have to make this a certain amount of income. I had to open up this group program. I had still no faith in myself. By the grace of God, I opened up this program, made a certain amount of money where we were able to make ends meet. 1 year later, we get this opportunity and make the decision to move here to Boise, which we would not have done had we not had real estate in the San Diego area. So because we chose to obey God in these two important areas. So you may be wondering why I'm throwing out these numbers and talking about money, but the reason why is because God had promised an overflow of finances, like that crayon box. He promised that overflow of finances in our life. And there were certain things that we had to do in order to partner with God, in order to take that land. I was broken in this area. Did not know how to handle finances. There was fear around it. I was broken. I literally need this supernatural power in order to release me in this area. And, you know, your story may be different. You may have a promise from God, and your partnership will look different. In the Israelites, they had their land, right? That was their promise. So I want to circle back to the Israelites taking territory in Joshua chapter 5. So this is when they are on their way to Jericho, right? The walls come tumbling down. They're on their way to Jericho, Joshua chapter 5, verse 11. And it says, the day after the Passover, that very day, they ate some of the produce of the land, unleavened bread and roasted grain. But for 40 years, four decades, they had only had manna, right? Verse 12, I must have read this countless times, but I've never noticed this in verse 12. The manna stopped the day after they ate this food from the land. There is no longer any manna for the Israelites. But that year, they ate the produce of Canaan. They finally took that step of partnership with God. They finally took that step of obedience, finally took that step of faith, and began to walk into Jericho. They said, yes, those are giants. And no, we aren't worthy to fight them, but we know that you have called us to fight. We know that we're small, but it doesn't matter that they're giants, because you have called us to do something that we're terrified to do, but we are choosing obedience. And when Sean and I lived in San Diego, we were in that wilderness season of life. We tithed, we were Christians, we obeyed where we could, you know, we're like living for God. And he gave us manna every single day. We had manna. But there were these consecutive, I only share two, there were consecutive decisions, very painful, very difficult decisions that we made over a span of time so that God could essentially like release us, deliver us from ourselves and our poverty mindset. And when we were able to do that and started walking into the land of the giants, so to speak, we began to eat the produce of the land. The manna for us stopped. We're currently living in the overflow because the manna stopped, and now we eat the produce of the land. And so my question to you is, what has God promised you? What is his promise for you? And also the bigger question, because we have lots of promises from God, the bigger question is, what are you doing? Like the Israelites, like my story, what are you doing to partner with God to see that promise come to pass in your life? Thank you.
Uh-oh. How do you follow that? You know, it's amazing. You see Star and Dr. James up here, and they share their story, and they share just all these extraordinary things God has done. And you'd never guess, if you met them today, what they've been through. That's what I love about this church. Everyone you ever see on this stage, it's a restoration job. It's a fix and flip. It might be a long-term hold, actually, I think. Anyways, okay. So it's Passion Week this week, which means Easter's next Sunday. And for those of you that don't know, Passion Week, this is the week that Jesus gave his life, hung on a cross, and at the end of 3 days, rose from the dead. And what's interesting, I looked up the definition for passion. I'm not going to solicit any responses, but I'm just curious if anybody knows the definition for the word, or the root word, rather, of passion in the Latin. The root word is passio. And what's super interesting is I was looking up the definition for passion in the Hebrew. They don't have a word for it. It doesn't exist. It's like a conglomerate of like five or six words to fully describe passion. They didn't have a word for it, for what Jesus did. Passion, passio, the root word is suffering. That's what passion means. It means to suffer. My question I want to open this up with is, what is it that we are willing to suffer for? Jesus is willing to suffer for something. And for me, I'm willing to suffer for representing God well. Well, what's that look like? Well, the interesting thing is God has everything. You know, the Bible says he lacks for nothing. That he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Well, he also owns the 1,000 hills. He owns everything. He lacks for nothing. And what's also interesting is it also says that we were made in his likeness and his image. And so what does it actually mean to properly represent God? Well, if God looks like this, who has it all, who's winning in everything that we can imagine, and we're losing at X, Y area of our life, are we representing him well? And the interesting thing is that it's not very often that we'll be winning in every area of our life at the same time at the level we want to win at. That's okay. That's not what it's about. The question is, are you sitting in the defeat in that area of your life? People say, man, I'm going through it. Are you? Dude, it looks like you're camping in it. You set up a tent in it. Is that a pillow? Is that a sleeping bag? I've been there. Look, it's not about having it all at all points of time. It's are you pressing forward? Are you trying? Or have you given up? Right? Look, it depends on the day of the week you ask me. I'm going through it in something, okay? It might be my marriage, might be my daughter, it might be my finances. It's probably my finances, okay? Look, what's really interesting is the guy who, like, leads Pathfinders. You know what the battle of my life has been? Finances. And some of you are like, oh, dude, how do you lead Pathfinders? Well, thank God. That's right. Thank God that you don't have to make a lot of money to lead people. Because if you did, the only people you'd ever lead are the people that are doing less than you, which is not a very good recipe for success. That's actually how I lived my life most of my life, is I was so insecure because of what my bank account said. I realized I was qualifying myself based on my bank status as opposed to my faith status. What did God say? And so you know what? I'm not happy with where I am at, really, in any area of my life. I'm grateful. But I'm not camping in defeat. I'm not camping and not being. You see what I'm saying? There's a difference. And what's interesting is Christians is like, so oftentimes we're like, oh, man, I'm suffering for the glory of God. Okay. I would love to know where God gets glory in suffering. I haven't seen it. Like, it's actually victory despite suffering that glorifies God. Our entire belief system's predicated on that. What if it ended, and instead of it saying, Jesus said, it is finished, and he rose from the dead, what if it said, he died? You want to know why there's power in the name of Jesus? It's because he won. It's because there's victory. It's because he had victory. It's not suffering that glorifies God. It's victory that glorifies God. And there would be no celebration of what Jesus said on the cross without his victory at the end. And so what's the worth of suffering if it doesn't end in victory? God isn't glorified by our suffering, by our defeat, by our downtroddenness, by our just existing, by our piety, by our poverty. He's not glorified by that. He's glorified by us winning despite it all. Victory in the life of a believer is what makes people curious of what's the source. You know what brings you to Jesus? Your suffering. But Pastor Kenny, there's no amount of your suffering that will ever bring me to Jesus. It's actually your victory despite the suffering that actually says, what's the source? How did you get through that? How did you overcome that? And you say, victory is expected. And you know what's interesting? That's how I was brought to God. I grew up in church, had nothing, no interest in it. You wanna know why? Every flippin' Christian that I met was like self-righteous, hypocritical, forced their faith on you, made you feel guilty, and none of them were winning. Look, I wanted to be successful. There's nothing wrong with being successful. God's not intimidated by successful people. You want to know how I know that? Because like every hero of the faith was rich. Some of you are like, what are you talking about? Dude, it's a rich man's book. Just telling you. Like most of the heroes of the faith were rich. Now, it's not about money. It's about, can God trust me with money so I can do his work? You know what the very last section that happens just before Jesus gives the Great Commission? The elders of the church and the Pharisees bring in the Roman guard, and they actually pay them to go tell the world that the disciples robbed Jesus' body. Not that he rose from the dead. You know, the tool that was used to bribe them was money. Money is used against the church all the time, but we have a huge problem picking it up for some reason. It's a tool. It's a tool for the kingdom of heaven. And so I was brought to God by someone who was winning and living the Jesus style. Someone who was actually effective for God, but also effective in the world. It says be in the world, not of the world. And so I met this individual. This is how I came to Jesus. This is how I came to faith. Is I met this individual. I was speaking at an event. It was only like 90 people. He doesn't normally speak at events like this. And by the grace of God, he's there. He was the keynote. And I went up, and he was the closer right after me, final speaker. And so he was in the back of the room, and I was up. And after we both spoke, he was like, man, I've never heard anybody teach on that like you did. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, I'd never met anybody who carried presence like this guy had. Now, I didn't know it was the Holy Spirit. I didn't know it was God. Wow. I had no idea. I was in the world. But I knew there was a presence on this individual that I wanted. I didn't want what he had. I wanted what he had. I wanted who he was. And so he said, dude, he's like, you're the real deal. He's like, if you're ever in California, reach out to me. I'll do anything I can to help you. It never came to pass because I had no self-worth, no self-confidence. And so fast forward, loss of business, my parents lost their house in bankruptcy. All this crazy stuff happened. I'm living in Arizona, and I start kind of finding myself. And I reached out to the guy who invited him to that event, and I said, hey, can you get me on the phone with this individual? We ended up on the phone for about a half an hour, and he said to me, dude, you're the real deal. I remember exactly who you are. If you're ever in California, reach out to me. I'll do anything I can to help you. 6 weeks later, I moved to California. I lived out of my car for a year. Never told him because I didn't want his money. I didn't want his connections. I didn't want what he had. I wasn't trying to get something from him. What I wanted was proximity because I knew if I could get around him, it would change me. And so he's the reason why I even came to Awaken Church. He's who invited me to Awaken Church. He's who married me and my wife. He's one of my closest friends today. One of my most trusted sources, trusted confidence counselors. If it wasn't for a man who was winning in the marketplace and winning with God, I would have never come to God. It took someone who was winning, who had fruit on their life. You know who that man was? Rex Crane. I mean, how important is it for us to win? It's not that you have to have it all right now, but are you in process? Or have you given it up because I don't know the way? Okay, we'll find a way. Ask God. He would show you a way. And Matthew 28, 18 and 19 says, I read New King James. I love New King James. It says, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. I emphasize disciples because, let me ask you a question. Jesus' disciples, would you describe them as converts or something more? Would you describe them as people who just gave their life to Jesus, or would you describe them as something more? They gave everything for him, and they were effective for him. They were effective in the world, and they were effective for him. Jesus doesn't say, go and make converts of all nations. He says, go and make disciples of all nations. What I love about Awaken is it's a discipleship church. That's why a lot of people don't like us. Because we're not okay with you coming in and just being the same and limping through life and until you get to heaven and you get your final rest. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. But guess what? We're called to be something here. That's why when you give your life to Jesus, you're not just beamed up to heaven. Because there's a purpose for us here. There's a reason to be here. And that's what Pathfinders is. It's a discipleship tool. It's simply an arm of Awaken's ministry to disciple people who care about the marketplace, to help you grow in your business, help you grow in your own mentality and mindset, help you grow in how God and business intermingle, how God and your marketplace assignment intermingle. All Pathfinders is a discipleship tool. That's what it is. I hate the most of Christianity is about just giving your life to Jesus as if it's the finish line. It's the starting line. It's where everything begins. It's not where everything, oh, I gave my life to Jesus. I got fire insurance. Hallelujah. I'm going to heaven. No, dude, there's more. So much more. Our life working is what gives God glory and attracts people to give him a shot. No amount of someone else's suffering has ever turned someone to him. Turn to you, but victory is what will turn others. How did you get through that? God, you need to meet him. So I'm going to end on this, is that Jesus didn't come just to save us. He came to give us victory over the power of the devil in this life on our way to heaven. And it's because we have work to do here, the work of disciple making. What are you willing to suffer for? That's why we're here. God owns everything and he lacks nothing, and we're made in his likeness and image. Our life should reflect the same. Revelation 12:11 says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony." I emphasize that because it's foreshadowing that victory is actually expected in the kingdom. That it doesn't say overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb. It actually says by the blood of the Lamb and the power of your testimony. Well, a testimony only shows up when? Once you've had victory. And now you have a story. We're not expected as believers to be weak and meek and mild and broke. Like, we're expected to be winning in marriage, winning in our with our kids, winning in our health. It's our winning in our finances. That's an area of life that matters to God. Amen. Testimony means victory despite the trials. We need a testimony to overcome the work of the enemy. Victory is required to be effective for God. That's what this church is about. It's what Pathfinders is about. It's just an arm. And as I was getting ready for this message, I was just praying, not just about this morning, just praying in general of, God, use me. I want to be used for your glory. Suffering doesn't glorify God. Victory, despite suffering, glorifies God. So if you guys would, close your eyes. And I just want to invite us this morning to take a moment with our Father. And if your prayer has been, God, use me, I invite you to include in that prayer, God, empower me to win for you. Empower my hands for victory, so that I can be a weapon in your hand against the kingdom of darkness. Some of us in this room have never given our life to Jesus, and you might not have ever heard Jesus talked about like this before. You didn't know he was the greatest winner of all time, the world's champion. Some of you gave your life to Jesus at one point, but you've kind of stumbled away, fallen away. Disappointment took you out of the palm of his hand, and you've been doing it your way. That's okay. I've been there. I've been both those people. And so on the count of three, I'm going to give you an opportunity to just say, Jesus, I invite you back, or I invite you in for the first time. And you'll probably know that's you because your heart's probably beating fast right now. So if you want to invite Jesus into your heart today and you want to start experiencing victory, one, you want to win for him, you want to be effective to influence people, two, not just into his kingdom, but make a difference for people. If that's you, on the count of three, raise your hand. Three. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you. I see that. I see your hands. Beautiful, beautiful. I love it. Well, everybody, whether your hand was up or not, pray this prayer with me out loud. Just say, Jesus, I so love you. I thank you that you didn't just give your life for me to get to heaven, but you gave your life for me to experience heaven on earth. And a conduit heaven on earth for other people. I invite you into my heart right now, Jesus. And I ask you to be my king, to protect me, to empower me, to love me, and to show me the way. I declare right now that heaven is my home
God is my Father, and Jesus is King of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Wow, what an amazing word. I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. Hey, listen, for more information about our church, go to www.awakenchurch.com or subscribe to our YouTube channel if you haven't already and download our app. It is amazing. It is chock full of incredible messages, information about upcoming events, and you can even support our ministry if you feel so inclined. We loved having you with us today. We look forward to seeing you again. God bless you. Live a life that is transformative. Bye for now.